Dear love and heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the day and for life and health and strength. Thank you, Lord, for the new hour or the extra hour. Thank you, Father, for the daylight, food, transport, and a wee pat through all the floods that are going on around the country at the moment. I pray especially for that family that had a chance to chat to yesterday and the one who got a chance to speak to a couple of weeks back. Please save souls, Father, and please, I pray, you take this time, Lord, to come into your presence, to covet your presence, Lord, and your attention just for this next hour and a half or so. I pray that you would work in our hearts and minds and that of those that can't be here this morning, especially for Pat and Steve, Lord. Pray for the folks on the road, for Stephen and Anne-Marie, for Michael and Krista, for Nolan Joan, for Jane and Corey, for Terence McLaughlin, for Carol and her family, and for Henry and Ethan. I pray for their salvation. And Lord, for the leaflets that went out yesterday, for our brother and sisters everywhere, Lord, our sister churches that are opening the doors and getting ready to sing your praises. I pray, you, Father, please, that you would bless this time in your presence. I love you and praise you. And thank you for loving us, for your Son, Christ Jesus. And we pray, Lord, that your will be done this morning. Ask all of it in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, Father. Amen. Amen. Let's take our big hymn books this morning and go to hymn number 2. Hymn number 2. I haven't sung this for a while. Hymn number 2 is Glory to His Name. We'll then sing the righteous.
Cleansing from sin, I cry. There.
books now, and we're going to get a bit of a Christmassy singing in. If you'd like to take, that means you're going near the back. I haven't sung this one, maybe not in this church at all. Number 74 is In the Bleak Midwinter. I don't know if anyone's ever heard of that.
Yeah.
It's an old one. I remember singing it in primary school, but you don't hear it very much.
Number
74, well, again, we'll remain seated as we say.
Therefore, my brother, dearly beloved, and long for my joy and crown, to stand fast in the Lord, my dear beloved, I beseech Eudaeus, and beseech Synthe, and they that be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which laboured with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with all my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made knowing unto God. Peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly, and now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to be abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done, and ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians also know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but yea only. For even in Thessalonica, he sent once and again unto my necessity. But because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit, and may bind to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory for ever and ever. Amen. So that every saint in Christ Jesus, the brethren which are with me, greet you. All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. Grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.
Was that a joint effort this morning, Mr. Wilson?
No, that was instruction from above.
That was, I love Philippians chapter 4. Biggest problem I think that people have today is what's going on between their 2 years, and that has the perfect solution for that. Tell it all to God and make sure you rethink on good things. Amen. And the peace of God that passeth all understanding will keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Amen. Appreciate that. Just want to remind everybody to make sure they get one of the little yellow prayer lists. What won't be on your prayer list is what we have already heard from folks for prayer requests is Frank will be coming home the 18th of December, 18th to the 28th. But ask that you would pray about the church car and the mechanic that's supposed to be fixing it. Please do pray for Helen and Florence. That would be Pat's two sisters, both. Her sister Helen had to go in for some investigative camera tests. She's losing blood and doesn't know where it's going to. Her sister Flo had a double knee replacement. She's back home and seems to be doing rightly, so please do pray for Pat's family. There's also the Spratt family, mother and wife and grandmother passed away, so please do remember them. This is Will's connection, his cousin William and his wife Rachel just had a new baby there last week, almost the week before. The end of previous week. Or the start of the previous week, depending on how you count your weeks. So please do pray for them, if you would as well. Interesting times, I'm sure. Amen. And that's about that. Oh, yeah. I think we're all good. Is anybody? Yes, well.
My good uncle, he's dead.
When did he pass away?
About 2 days ago. Oh, no, I heard it yesterday from my uncle last night by telephone, so the funeral's tomorrow. Goodness.
What was his name?
Davy Hamilton.
No. Was it expected, or...?
I don't know what happened. He was an atheist.
Pardon?
He was an atheist. So just thinking about his family.
Well, he was an atheist.
Oh, yeah.
Please do pray for the Hamilton family at this time. I'm sure there'll be a few tears and sore hearts for a little bit of time. But no better time for reaching out to folks too. So please do pray for the Hamilton family. Also ask that you'd say we pray for Norman and me, but mostly Norman. Whenever we come to fixing the leak on the church out the front, and I have a front door that needs fixed, and another car that needs fixed. Church car needs sorted out. It's been out of commission, would you believe, for 6 months. First two or three were on me, but the last one or two have been on the mechanic. He just will not do anything for some strange reason. But do pray for him. That's Stan's brother-in-law, so pray for him. Got a couple of contacts for other mechanics. I will have to poke them with a stick and see what happens. So please do pray about that. Anything else you need to be aware of? Pray for each other, for safety. Don't forget Pat and Steve. Steve is losing weight and seems to be heading in the right direction again. So please do pray for him and Pat both. And for the infection in his leg seems to be clearing up right here too. Other than that, there's plenty going on in the world. You may or may not know, but there is an election coming up in America in just about a week and a day's time. Please do pray for people during the midterms. The world is heading towards evil, but it's not given over to evil yet, because God's Holy Spirit is still in the face of this world working in people's lives. It's whenever that goes that the brakes are off. So please do pray if we get the right result that good people get into running government. And please do pray for our own government. And did I really mention somewhere that there might be local elections here? If our politicians don't get themselves organised and stop throwing their rattles out of the pram. So a lot to pray about. Of course, difficult times in the whole world. I think China's having difficult times as well. Russia, certainly, Ukraine, Australia, Africa, Europe, definitely North and South America and Canada. Certainly, if there's a time people need of God, it's right now. So be much in prayer about that. Let's have a wee word of prayer and then we'll continue on. Amen. Dear loving Heavenly Father, we do indeed thank you, Lord, for your many mercies and for your helps, for your comfort and your strength. And we pray them for ourselves and for those that we know in spades, Lord. We really do need it in these dark days. I pray, Lord, for our countries and the leaders of them, for a great constraint to be set upon them, Lord, and a great conviction of sin and judgment to come. I pray you too for the Hamilton family and the passing of Uncle Davy. You know all the statuses of states of men's and women's hearts in the Hamilton family at this time. We would pray, Lord, that those that are lost would appeal to those that are saved for direction. Pray you too for Pat and Steve's family, for their health, and for Pat's sisters, and for the Spratt family in the wake of the loss of Nita, Lord. Pray you for Florence and Pat. There's many different things going on, Lord. Only you know what they are. But I pray also for our private prayer requests. And Lord, most important, if you will be done. We love you and praise you. Please, Lord, don't be done with this world just yet. I'm sure there's a few souls that need to be saved. And just leave these things at your feet and pray that you would grant them according to your will, Father. Love you and praise you. Amen. Amen. Right. Let's take our black hymn books again. We're not going too far from number two. We're going to number three. I'd like to take a turn there. We're going to stand as we sing Jesus Paid It All. Hymn number three, Jesus Paid It All. 10 books away just yet. There's just one more that I'd like for us all to sing 3, 2, 5, and then I will give your vocal cords a rest. We'll exercise now a bit more. Trust and obey. It's an old favourite. You've heard it many, many times. Maybe a lot from your mums and dads before you heard it in church. But trust and obey. Amen. This morning, Genesis chapter 3. Start at the first book in the Bible and turn about three pages, and that should be you. Genesis chapter 3. I want to, in the mouth of Halloween, and I'm sure in the middle of Halloween celebrations for everybody, I want to pose the question to, well, not just ourselves, but whoever might get to listen to this, is sin still wrong? Is it still wrong to commit sins? And I thought, what better place to start than the very first one? Genesis chapter 3, I've only about 4 or 5 verses to read. Might read one or two more, but I think we're going to read about 5. The Word of God says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons." Amen. I thought we'd go on in verse or two, because not only is it the first sin, but it's also the consequences for the first sin too. Is sin still wrong? Well, if you wouldn't mind, brother, would you lead us in a wee word?
Yes, Lord, thank this day, Lord, and thank for keeping us safe and well, Lord, through this the past week, Lord. And thank for your love. And you sent your Son, Lord Jesus Christ, died for our sins, Lord. Thank you for salvation and your love, Lord. We've asked as well, Lord, we've thanked as his own mother, we've got the sin as well, John, of course, today. And Lord, also, bring to the church as well, Lord. We've Charlotte, Paul, Lord, who's calling us in Ukraine, Lord, from the trouble, keeping safe and well, Lord, and his friends as well, Lord. And John, of course, you're up today as well, Lord. Also, we have Charlotte, bring to the church just a part time as well. See Stephen, Carl, and John. Also, we have Christine and his family, Lord, from the trouble, keeping safe and well, Lord, as well. We've Stephen Pat, Lord. Bless Steve, help him with his. Help him to lose weight, help him to get healthier, Lord, and heal by the way his pain or his anguish, Lord, and his suffering as well, give rest by to also Pat well. Also give John Bradfield, keep him safe as well, Lord. With Pat Kane as well, Lord, deliver from any trouble, heal her, Lord, and take any pain or suffering from her condition as well, Lord, keep him safe as well, Lord. With any other family members as well, with also the family of Debbie Hamilton, Lord, you may use it as an occasion to stem people's lives, Lord, and to put to come up to people's lives and to tell them that they need a Saviour, to save them from their sins, and for them to be saved to be trusted by the Holy Spirit, convicted as well, Lord, and come to a saving realisation and saving God's Lord Jesus Christ in their lives, Lord. We have Marcus come to love the gospel, give a touch of the Spirit, Lord, and direct us and him in the Word of God, Lord, to the message that you have given us this morning, Lord. Both to us in the meeting, Lord, but also to those that are listening on the CD or online as well, Lord. See so many, and praise a good hope to him, all again, and may the kingdom be established out there for again, for the honour and for our glory, for Jesus Christ again.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Well, amen. I am sure if you've been saved any length of time at all, you've heard multiple messages on sin. Few things that I would just like to draw to your attention, and one of the doorways that the old devil will use to make you fall. First of all, the very first sin has two people, two perfect people designed to live forever in their bodies, in a perfect place in the Garden of Eden, where the atmosphere, the geography, the everything about the place was designed to enable them to live forever. And the only thing that they had to watch out for was the one commandment. Don't eat of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. It's in the middle of the garden. Don't eat it. That's all that the Lord said to Adam and Eve, and that's all that they had to keep in mind. Now, bear in mind, Adam and Eve were perfect. Adam had a mind like a computer. Don't forget, he named all the animals, and I'm sure he remembered them and passed the names on. And Eve came from his rib, so she was pretty much the female version of him. So, not stupid people. And before this time, they actually walked and talked with God in the cool of the evening. Definitely not stupid, and they had the best of company. But on this one particular occasion, the devil never taps you on the shoulder and says, "We're going to have a fight. You take your corner in the ring, and I'll take my corner in the ring. We'll use boxing gloves so that nobody gets hurt, and we'll wait until the bell rings for the start and finish." That's not the way. That would be a fair fight. The devil doesn't play like that. The devil always starts fighting when you're at your weakest. He always applies himself or attacks the weakest link. And he says to the woman, "Did God not say that you can eat of every tree in the garden?" In other words, casting doubt upon the word of God. Because technically God did say that, but God also said something else. And this is one of the lies of the devil. He tells half-truths. Did God not say you could eat of the fruit of the tree of every tree in the garden? That's half the truth. God did say that, but he also said, don't eat of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And Eve said, what was her answer? Eve said, we may eat of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said that we shall not eat it, nor touch it, lest we die. So the devil had made his crow. He had discovered that Eve was not keeping up on the gospel. She had added something to the gospel, and that always weakens it. It's a little bit like I was going to paint our new front door. Norman gave me a tin of stuff, and he said, put it on thinly, and I said, do I need to add some paint thinners to it to thin it down? He said, no, it's right the way it is, and that's just exactly what the commandments of God are like. They're perfect the way they are. At the start, we see the fault from Adam to them. At the very end of the Bible in Revelation 22, there's a death penalty for anybody that adds to the gospel or takes away from the gospel. And so, the devil seeing his chance, he comes in with his explanation as to why. In other words, God is keeping you from great things by making sure that you don't eat of this fruit of the tree of the garden in the midst of the Garden of Eden. He's keeping things from you. You'll be like God. You'll know good and evil. So the woman considers it and thinks, if I eat that, I will know good and evil. I'll be better than I was before. I'll have more fun, more knowledge, more power than I have. I'll be like God. That's what the devil said. You'll be like God, knowing good and evil. But it wasn't going to be a technical knowledge of good and evil. It was going to be a very up-close and personal knowledge of good and evil. In other words, she was going to find out the consequences of disobeying God and knowing what it was like, the consequences of doing evil, of going against what God said. So she looks at it. And as she looks at it, she considers it. If I eat that, I'll be like God. 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 And she thinks about it and considers it so often that she starts to believe what the devil says. And then she eats it, and not wanting to be on her own, she gives it to her husband, and he eats it, and their eyes are open. They're like gods, knowing good and evil. Realize they're naked, their innocence is gone, and they run and make themselves aprons of fig leaves. As you read on through that portion of God's word, the next thing we have is God walking in the garden in the cool of the evening, and he calls out to them. And we know the whole story about them passing blame. Adam says, well, we're naked and we hid ourselves, and God said, who told you you were naked? Did you eat of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil? And Adam says, it was the woman that you made. God goes over to the woman, and the woman says, it was the snake that you made. And we see the pattern of sin. Not wanting to take accountability, responsibility, always blaming other people. But that's not the way things work. God still knows where the blame lies. And he tells the woman that her she will bring forth children in sorrow, but Adam will have to work for the rest of his days to get the goodness out of the ground. And the snake, the creature, was cursed. It says, you'll eat dust for all the years of your life. And this thing, this was written like nearly 6,000 years ago. And it's only in the last 100 that they've actually found it. The Jacobson's organ on the snake under their chin. The tongue flicks out and samples the dust particles, catches the dust particles and flicks them under the chin. So the Jacobson's organ can smell, can detect things nearby them. It eats dust all the days of its life. So there we have the very first sin and the very first consequences, which were earth-shattering. They always are the first time. If you keep on in sin, they become less earth-shattering and more soul-destroying. Eventually, there's not even a countenance of God. I know a lot of people. I know, we've got Halloween, we're in the middle of it. I think it started on Friday, or maybe even Thursday, and it's going to go on until tomorrow night. In this time, whenever we can't even get guys out to cut the grass or to widen the roads just by digging some of the grass away, they're going to, I don't know, how many tens of thousands of pounds is it going to cost to give people 15 minutes of jollies watching bright lights flash and listening to bangs? They could actually do something with that. But there's more to it than that, and we all know. A lot of people will be there, oh, I just went out for everybody else. You can't blame me for doing anything wrong, God. But do you know what? It's not everybody else. It's not a multitude of people that causes sin. It's our sin nature that causes sin. There were two people in the world that caused the fall of mankind. And that was simply a personal disobedience and rebellion of God's word. There's always a cost. There's always a cost. What does sin do to folks? We know what it did to Adam and Eve. They lost their innocence. They were separated from fellowship with God. No more walking in the Garden of Eden, in the cool of the evening. It brought death into the world. Because as soon as they rebelled against God, the Bible says they started to die. And the devil was also telling the truth there, and he said, you shall not surely die. In other words, you'll not die right now. You will die later on. And it took them nearly 1,000 years to die. That's what sin did to Adam and Eve. What does it do to folks in this neck of the woods in these days? Well, let's think about it mentally for a minute. Let's think about the mental consequences. I got to thinking about the gymnastics that people have to go through in this Christian country. Around this city, at any rate, they're going to close off the city centre, they're going to shut down the roads, they're going to close all the shops, probably, just so that everybody from everywhere in Northern Ireland and maybe even across the border can come and stand along the foyer or on the walls and watch and listen to the fireworks. They can run around dressed in completely different clothes, masked and anonymous, and do whatever they like, and there's no consequences. That's what people are able to do. They think they're free to do whatever they like. And I think it was Anton LaVey, the father of modern Satanism, he said, do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law. And that's the credo of Satanism. Whatever you want to do, whatever's on your mind, just do it. No consequences, just do it. If it fits through your head, it's legit, you can do it. And just like every good celebration, like Easter and Christmas, Easter Sunday and Christmas Day, the only 2 days in the year, pretty much the UK shuts down. They shut down to honour the God that made the Britain great. Shops close, people come together as families, and sometimes they even remember why. It's not just about feeding the family get together, it's because of God. I know they're not the exact times, but Christians celebrate the death, burial, resurrection, the shedding of Christ's blood for the payment of sins on Easter Sunday. And they celebrate the giving of that as a little child, the birth of Jesus Christ at Christmas. And everybody stops to consider that. At least we're given the opportunity to stop and consider that. And just like everything that's good out there, the devil has a filthy counterpart, and one that's designed to take people's minds off of thinking logically and just to fix them on sensation and thrills and dopamine and whatever else highs that your brain produces. In much the same way that people hate those that are lost in trespass and sin, those that love their sin more than they love God, they hate people that remind them of eternity. They hate being forced to stop and think about where they're going to go whenever their lives are over. They hate the thought of coming to church. They hate the hymns that we've just sung, and some of them I have felt like that too until I get the hang of the tunes, but I enjoy them now. I keep being reminded by my wife. They certainly wouldn't put any money into the plate or tithe. They can't stick you, because even the very look of you and the fact that they know you're a Christian irks the life out of them. And yet these people want to go to heaven when they die. And they don't actually realise that heaven is going to be like church on steroids. It's going to be like the Incredible Hulk. If this was normal person here, heaven is going to be like the Incredible Hulk of churches. Well, unfortunately, we've gotten to the point in our civilization and our Christianity, and I'm talking about Christianity across the world, but a lot of saved souls think it's okay to walk a mile on the road to hell with lost souls. And I want for you to think about this for a minute. When we do that, when we agree with lost souls on things that you and I know to be sin, and we do them, you know what goes through the minds of a lost soul? Hey, Mark does that. Therefore, it's okay if I do it. It's not really a sin. I don't need to get saved, because Mark can still do that. Mark can still drink. Mark can still do drugs. Mark can still use filthy language. Mark can still chase after wee girls. Mark can drive like a maniac and curse and blind and swear at everybody. Mark can steal money. If he does it, surely it's okay if I do it. What's the point in even being saved? That's what lost people think when they see you indulging in sin, especially when it comes to Halloween. If you consider Revelation chapter 20, it talks about the great white throne of judgment. And that is the judgment for lost souls. It's the judgment for people that never got saved. The Bible says that John saw the dead, small and great, stand before Christ, seated upon the great white throne of judgment. He's going to ask them, why did you not accept me as your Savior? Well, Mark, he was doing all the bad things, and he never told me that I needed to get saved. And Mark's standing up, looking down, because Mark got saved, but never did anything for Jesus. He was as bad as a lost man. Mark got saved. A lot of people be saying, but you never told us. I never didn't tell you. When the push comes to shove, yes, it's their own stupid faults for listening to compromised Christians, but a lot of folks don't know. One of the reasons I won't go to the Halloween celebrations, in quote, is because it's a pagan festival. And everybody knows it's a pagan festival. And I'm not going to turn up and say, oh, well, Mark turned up at the Halloween fireworks and turned up in fancy dress. Folks will start thinking it's okay. And I know there's a few lost people. We've all heard of the rapture, the catching away of believers whenever Christ comes back. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Franklin, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. It talks about a time when God said, right, we're all done. Nobody else is going to get saved. I'm coming, I'm going to call the Holy Spirit off of the world. And everybody that is sealed with the Holy Spirit will have to come with it. And there'll be no mediating influence anymore of the Holy Spirit convicting people's souls. There'll be nobody out there holding placards telling people to get saved. Or that abortion's wrong. Or that homosexuality is wrong. Or euthanasia is wrong. There'll not be any of that anymore. And a lot of people, I think, in this world look and make sure that there's Christians about and think that, hold on, we're still okay, we're not in that period of judgment. So the urgency is not there to get right with God. It's incumbent upon us to tell them. Sin sends folks in all sorts of mad directions. That's what it does for their minds. Is it any wonder that the so-called liberal left, their minds are so open, their brains have actually fallen out, along with any logical thought. But sin also destroys the body. Because as you're out gallivanting, doing all those things you think are okay, there's alcohol to be taken, there's drugs to be had, there's smoking to be partaken of, to be sucked into your lungs. And feels so good in the first time, but when you get down to the 10,000th time, needs to be followed by a shot of oxygen just so you can keep your neurons firing. You think about the wonderful promises of pleasure that the world, the flesh, and the devil say with temporary relationships, hookups, I think they call it. And every single one that takes place is a step away from the ability to form permanent relationships. Every single instance that occurs is one more roll of the barrel of Russian roulette with your health. And every time you indulge in that and somebody else is just doing exactly the same and kicks you to the curb and leaves you twisting in the wind, that breaks minds and bodies and people and families and finances. That's just with immorality. We all are very, very well versed on the effect that alcohol can have. Isn't it funny on the day of paganism that everyone will be gathered around the river with alcohol in their hands? Not just the ones that have given their lives over to living under a bridge and lived from one day to the next looking for drink. Friends, it's still wrong. It's not helping people. It's not lifting them up. It's not making them better people. It's quite literally sucking the life out of them. And all because, what was it that the devil said to Eve? Ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Well, do you know what? This is what God gave to the prophet Isaiah about the mind of the devil. The only place it's recorded in the Bible, even though these are the words that come out of his heart, these are the thoughts of his heart. This is what God has to say about the devil. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend to heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like God. I will be like the Most High. Verse 15 tells us the end of the devil. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell to the sides of the pit. That's the guy that everybody's listening to. He's the worst of losers. He doesn't give people the full story. He gives them the half-truth. Do you ever hear the old saying, everything will be all right in the end. It'll all work out for the best. You've heard that. That's the lie of the devil. Because it will only work out for the best whenever you trust God with your soul and whenever you trust Him with your life. That's when it works out for the best. Otherwise, it doesn't. So that's what it'll do to a lost soul. That's what it'll do to a soul that has no notion of the Bible and no notion of getting saved, that's neck deep in their sin, literally an endless cycle of searching, of wondering, of fear, of having God as an enemy instead of a friend. That's what it'll do to a lost soul. Should a saved soul get involved in sin? Honestly, what did it do to Adam and Eve? It separated them from God. Now, you can't lose your heritage as a Christian, because God keeps your heritage. You are a son of God or a daughter of God from the moment you're saved till the moment, well, until forever. You'll always be a child of the King of Kings. But God wants so much more for you. He wants to give you a life here and now as a child of the King of Kings. And he has so many helps and so many blessings, sometimes hard lessons. He has so much, along with the ministry of angels being sent to help you. The peace that passeth all understanding that Norman read about. He has that for us whenever we walk and talk with him. But if we choose sin, what will it work out? You can still have the name of a Christian, but you will not receive of the blessings or the helps of the fellowships if you set yourself against your parent, against your father. People have been disowned for those sorts of things. And whilst you can't be technically disowned from being a Christian, you can lose your fellowship with God. You can lose the ability to pray because you've got pride and sin taken first and foremost place in your heart. But God doesn't want that. He wants to, goodness, the Bible says, in James chapter 1, it says, every good gift and every perfect gift cometh from above, no, is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of changing. That's what God wants to give to us. Even when the Lord Jesus Christ spoke to the scribes and the Pharisees, his biggest enemies, he said to them, you give your children good things, don't you? When they ask for a bit of fish, you don't give them a serpent. Or if they ask you for an egg, you don't give them a scorpion. Or if they want a bit of bread, you don't give your children a lump of rock, do you? And Jesus said, if ye being evil know how to give good things to your children, how much more do you think your Father in heaven wants to give good things to his children? That is for his promise to us. But when we indulge in sin, we take that off the table. That's like a little child putting a brick through your window and you running out and giving them £20. Thank you very much. There's your reward for your wrongdoing. What is that going to do? We come back with two bricks the next day and they go on to another window. And if you come out with £40, thank you. He's going to go on with worse and worse behavior. God is a parent. Parents had to learn how to parent from somewhere. It came from God originally. He wants us, he wants the best for us, but sin and Christianity, they don't mix. You know what God's solution was back in the day? New Testament says it best. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Be ye not unequally yoked together with the unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. That's the solution. Separate yourself. Do you know when you get saved? Do you know what you literally do? You separate yourself from your sin. You repent of your sin. And the space left in your heart, that love and thirst and desire for sin, is replaced with the Holy Spirit, who satisfies that lust. And it wasn't ever a lust for sin. It was a desire for peace, a desire for fellowship with God. And it was turned into lust by stupid people doing stupid things and getting hooked on. I know a lot of people say, well, if you're going to be a Christian, it's a very boring life. Well, it's very boring if your whole life is taken up with driving fast cars, drinking, doing drugs, sleeping around the country and all that other stuff. It might seem boring. Why don't you go ask God? God, you guys have said my life's very boring, or Christian life's very boring. Have you got something there that would spice it up? Have you got something that would give me a wee adrenaline rush? I have the very thing for you. Believe it or not, I have three functioning megaphones. That's one for me up at the Crescent Link, and I will load the other ones up for baggage. Do you want an adrenaline rush? I'll give you a megaphone. You get the adrenaline rush like you've never had before. Whenever you go up there and you know that the world, the flesh, and the devil is against you, that everybody in the car park does not want to hear you, that the weather might even be against you, and yet you're going up there because God asked you to go up, and he's given you every single thing you need. All he needs for you to do is stand up, remember a Bible verse, speak it through the megaphone, and then tell people about the great and wonderful things that God has done for you. It doesn't even have to be a megaphone. A loved one that doesn't know Jesus, tell them. You'll have your enemies lined up against you just straight away. But Romans 8:32 says, if God be for you, who can be against you? Tell them about Jesus. Don't give them an opportunity to point a finger at you at the great white throne of judgment. But if I don't go out there and conquer people, I have no power. I'm going to tell you what happens to power and wealth in this world. There's not one man that has ever retired from the job where he had his power and took it with him. I knew of guys that earned 5 and 6 times the amount of money that I earned in Desmond's. I did their wages for them. I did their year ends. I knew what everybody earned. And knowing them as I did, I often wondered, what in the world do those guys ever do for that money? But that's neither here nor there. Every single one of them, when they retired, left. They just became Joe Public. No power, no authority, all gone. It's the same for everything in this world. The wealthy that have bank accounts full of money and cars and houses and clothes and you name it. And there's no harm in being wealthy, but unless you manage to spend it all, someone else is going to get their hands on it and spend it and enjoy it. You want power? Commit a few verses of scripture to your heart. And then the first time you speak to somebody, whenever the Holy Spirit reminds you of those verses again, that's power. Those are the verses God needs for you to speak to that person so he can work in their souls. God is dependent upon you to be like those power lines. He is dependent on you to be a conduit from him to a lost soul. And it is an amazing thing to stand up in faith depending upon that. You want power. You want satisfaction and contentment. You remember that whenever you do God's will, he is pleased with you. Study the Bible, see how things really work in the world. Get a heads up on everything that's going bad in the world. Grab a hold of that knowledge and take comfort and understanding and peace and purpose from it. And follow God instead of all the latest fads and fashions. The sin's still wrong? Of course it is. It's still destroying people in exactly the same way it did in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Those people promote these false gospels, the Bible says they're traitors. Galatians said they're anathema, anatha, they're cursing for people telling people otherwise. But I want to tell you something. That no matter who you are, no matter what you've done or has been done to you, I've got a wee verse for you. I'm thankful that where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That there is a God, my Father in heaven, that even the vilest offender, the worst, filthiest, most unrighteous person, whatever bad thing you can think, that comes to God and genuinely repents of their sins, God won't turn them away. Sin is still sin, no matter how it's wrapped up, no matter how it's portrayed, no matter how long it is that it has been from the end of the Bible, 1900 years ago. Oh, that was for a way back then. Well, let me tell you something, friend. All the things that God said were bad for us in the Bible are still bad for us. And all of the things that God said would help us, would build us up, would make us better people, and are good for us, are still good for us. In the Word of God, it says, the things that we do and the words that we speak come from our hearts. And if the thoughts of our hearts are continually upon immorality and profanity and violence and thefts and lies and blasphemies, those are the things that we are going to do, and those things don't help people. Those things get people life sentences in jail. But as Norman was reading in Philippians chapter 4, if the thoughts of our hearts are true and honest, what is it? True, honest, just, pure, lovely, and of a good report, if there's any virtue, and if there's any praise, if we think on those things, then the things that we say and do will be good things. They will lift us up out of the muck and the mire, and those that we are responsible for up out of the muck and the mire too, or at least show them the way. Sin is still bad. It's still wrong. I want to tell you something else. There is still the penalty for sin. Back in the day, God gave Moses the books of the law, the Ten Commandments, and two tablets of stone. Jesus, when he walked on the earth, said, don't think I am come to do away with all of that. I'm not. I'm just come to fulfill them. I'm come to pay the price for all of that. Still in effect, people are in a lot more trouble than they realize. But they need to know. And if it's only you that tells them, so be it. They need to know that there's a God that loves them and is prepared to forgive them. If they will just tell them they're sorry, Lord, you've been right all this time and I've been wrong, and you please save them. That's all it takes to save a soul for the endless ages of eternity, to wipe out that sin debt and to set those feet on the straight and the narrow road that leads to life. That's all that it takes to provide a mansion in heaven, a new and a glorified body with robes of righteousness and no sin nature anymore. That's all that it takes. Sin is still wrong, still needs to be repented of, and people still need to be saved from it. And I'm thankful we have a God that will do all of those for us. Amen. Stopping there, thank you for your good attention. God bless you. I hope that's a help to you today. We have one hymn that we are going to sing by way of closing. We're in the little black books. We'll sing it in the right place for a change, number 19. We'll stand as we sing. God be with you till we meet again. This is the right place to sing. Number 19 in the wee books. God be with you till we meet again.
Oh.
meet again. Let's have a word of prayer and we will be dismissed. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this day, for the life and health and strength you've given us. Pray that you bless and watch over us as we part company. Lord, make us mindful of your scriptures, of your desire for us. Please be with our brothers and sisters, wherever they might be. Pray that you would lift up, that you would comfort and strengthen, that you would even turn. But Lord, we pray most importantly for your will to be done. We look forward to meeting up again this evening. But we, in the meantime, Lord, we pray all this in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus. We love you and praise you. Amen. Folks, we're dismissed. God bless you.